Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter the world of the unknown. There is a silent, invisible world that surrounds us all. A world we don't understand. A world that we wish to understand. And on Paranormal Horizons, we're going to explore this and hopefully get some answers. Good evening, everyone, and happy Sunday. I'm Jason Ophir, as always, here for another episode of Paranormal Horizons with Sherry Pang. Sherry, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good, Jason. What about you?
Oh, just kicking back, being lazy. I just finished watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind, one of my favorite movies. I've probably seen it half a dozen times, but I haven't seen it in years. You know, I've got to watch those alien movies.
Wow, that's pretty good. Was it different takes since you haven't seen it for a while?
No, it's just a generally fantastic movie. I don't think they make alien movies like that anymore. I think now they're more geared, well, mostly anyway, geared to scaring the viewer. But what a great classic film. I highly recommend it if anybody hasn't seen it. But I imagine that probably the majority of the American population has.
I don't know if I've seen that. I don't remember if I have, but I used to watch scary movies instead of alien movies. I used to watch scary movies before I got into the paranormal. But how about you, Jason? You've been watching any scary movies?
I always watch scary movies. You know, when I break out the Netflix or the Amazon, the first category I go to is scary. I've seen so many scary movies that it's hard to find decent ones nowadays. All the ones that I haven't seen are like B and terrible acting, and I can't stand it.
Did you see about the one with Zach Bagans and Ghost Adventures? They sent Brian Ouellet, who's a regular guest on our show. We have Brian Ouellet. He's the exorcist, and he was with Zach Bagan and about the Divot Box, right? Did you hear about that?
I haven't seen that. The latest, I don't watch Ghost Adventures, but the latest thing I did watch was the Demon House one that they did a little while ago where he bought that really haunted evil house and they kind of did a Ghost Adventures movie there.
How was that? Was that a pretty good show? Would you recommend it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, it's worth however much I paid for it, $4 or $5 to rent.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I watch that anymore. Part of me is curious, but now I've been in the paranormal, you know, it's I don't know if I want to. I don't want to open that door. I'm, you know, being an empath too. I can see remote viewing and see if they have other places, and it does affect me physically. So I don't think I've been want to open that door anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I usually watch stuff at night, and I don't watch scary stuff at night. I mean, I'm big and scary, like physically. But I don't need those kind of thoughts in the back of my brain when I'm trying to sleep. Anytime I hear something, I'd like freak out and open my eyes. So I try to keep my viewing light during the evening.
Anymore. My mind's been very calm and I've been very blessed. So yeah, I don't watch those kind of things. I don't know. It's been years since at least a few years. Yeah, I haven't watched that kind of stuff. It doesn't entertain me. You know, it really doesn't. And it's like planting seeds in your brain. And sometimes the mind can go really wild.
Well, I know mine can.
I know. So, hey, why don't we get our guest? Did she call in yet? We have a returning guest. This gal was our special guest, I guess, when I first came on over 3 years ago. And she's just a lovely soul. I love her. I've met her a few times. She's just wonderful. Her name is Laura Walters, and she is She's a photographer, fantastic. She takes photography. She shoots pictures, I should say, of nature beings, and we're talking about fairies, gnomes, elves, sprites, those kind of things. And it's interesting. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, she has a way with them, but I'm not into them per se. But, you know, if you really look at things, sometimes you catch them in the, you know, corner of your eye and things like that. But I have not myself personally have ever experienced or seen fairies, gnomes, or elves, or sprites. Mine is more, I wouldn't say paradelias, but more Native American symbolism and their pictures come through in certain things. But anyway, we're going to have Laura tonight. She has a book out, and yeah, she's going to talk about that, and we're just going to go on from there to wherever we need to go. So yeah, we're just going to touch a little bit of what she does, and she, like I said, she has a book called, I think, is it Being Enchanted? I'm not sure. I think we're going to have to, I mean, she's going to have to reiterate on that. No, it's The Life in Nature is Revealed, Real Photographs of Fairies, Gnomes, and Elves. I'm reading this. That's what it is called. So let's just bring her on and have her shoot.
Hey, Laura, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Jason and Sherry. Thank you for having me. I'm very honored.
Yes. It's been a while, girl. Wow, it's been a few years.
Yeah, time flies, doesn't it? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Sure does.
So anyway, we're gonna just be open. Go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry.
Oh no, go ahead. See, we're on a little bit of delay.
What we want to talk about. Let you have the floor, and we'll kind of see what happens.
Can you hear me okay? I'm on my Bluetooth. Would you rather me be straight phone, or does that matter to you guys?
You're coming in
Bluetooth
loud and clear.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay, good. I was hoping. Yeah, so what would you guys like to know? I've got a plethora of things we could talk about, so we'll just see where it takes us.
Well, Sherry kind of gave you a little bit of an intro. Maybe you can kind of give our listeners that weren't tuning in a few years ago kind of an expanded bio of yourself.
Okay. Well, it actually, amazingly, was 15 years ago when I had my real kind of wow moment in the forest. And I was with my husband and my daughter, and we were actually camping in this cabin. We were staying in this cabin, and one night, last night we were there, unexpected, all of this is so random. So I just kind of went out for a walk, and they were getting ready to retire, and I would, you know, retire and then kind of go to bed. But I felt I wanted to go kind of on a little walk. So I went to this area, and I didn't know where I was, had never been there before, but I was very intuitively drawn. And I came to this big redwood tree, and I asked it if I could, you know, kind of walk in its little forest there, and I gave it respect, and I got yes. So I walked, and then I didn't go very far, and I came into this clearing of trees, and then there was like this bush that was kind of open. It was like kind of a mushroom, kind of like a umbrellaed, hooded effect, and I was drawn to go in there. So I went in there, and it was kind of twilight time, even though that's not just when the fairies come out, but it seemed to be at this time. And I was standing there, and I got this feeling, and I was way overwhelmed. Like I was hearing music and in my head, and I was starting to kind of dance, and I'm like, that's kind of interesting. And so I stopped, and then I felt, you know how you feel when somebody's behind you, but you can't see them? Well, that's how I felt in the whole area. Like there were all these faces looking at me, but I didn't know who they were, and I didn't really see them. Because I'm not so clairvoyant more than I'm clairaudient, or, you know, I feel sentience too. So I was feeling them, and then I got this voice in my head telepathically that said, "We need your help." And I was like, "What?" And so they told me they wanted me to help them bring awareness to humanity. And I said, well, how am I to do that? Oh my gosh. And they go, well, we'll work with you. And I said, well, I will do it, because in my heart I knew that was part of, I just knew a knowingness. I knew that was why, part of why I was here. You know how you just get those moments, you just, you don't doubt, you just know, your heart tells you. And I said, okay, if we do this together, then it, please be in my face with ease and grace. You know, really show me you're there. And after that, well, the next morning, my daughter led us to this area, and then she went on, and my husband and I found this tree that in the Olympic National Forest that we took a photo of, that had literally the veil opened up, and it revealed a whole layer of fairy in it. And that was something I didn't know was happening, but at the time, it was amazing. It was, I was downloaded with all this energy and love and warm feeling, and then the glow of light around me was all this golden bubbled kind of light, and I knew something happened, but I had no idea what it was. And then that was 15 years later, I mean earlier, so lots happened since then, but that was my awakening, if you want to call it that. And so yeah, I feel as my gifts progressed, then it's an amazing life. I mean, it's just amazing, and I feel very honored to express it. I had to do a lot of inner work to even hold the frequency to work with them, a lot of self-forgiveness, all kinds of things, you know, to clear. And that's an ongoing thing, particularly this last few years. We've all gone through so much, and they're still going through that. But that's just kind of the intro. And then so I got other pictures, you know, I didn't realize till I got home, and then I saw fairies in it, and then that kind of woke me up, and it just kept happening. I kept getting other pictures where I would see fairies, or even a gnome came to me in a tree, and just different things kept happening. And so then one day I had this tree that I went up to. I was with a different group. I was with my cousin and her daughter, and this tree started shaking. All the other trees were not shaking. And this tree, there was just like a little whirlwind came up with a vortex. And we were like, whoa. And my cousin Pam says, well, I don't know, Laura. I think this tree wants you to take its picture. And I go, yeah, I think so. So when I did, later, literally on the log, you could see the words L-O-V-E. And it was a fairy's. Had formed their light body into the word love. And I knew when I saw that in my office on the computer, I freaked out. I was like, I called my husband in. I said, oh my God, you got to see this. What do you see? And he said, oh my God, yeah, that's them. And I go, well, this isn't for me anymore. I got to start sharing this. So I started writing my first book, and that's kind of my, I guess, my long bio. I don't know. There's other things, but that's kind of the short end of that. And yeah, so
what do the fairies look like? And yeah, what do the fairies look like? And what exactly are they? Are they like an energy being? Or when I think of fairy, I think of all the things that we see in the media, or you know, fantasy with, you know, a humanoid, tiny humanoid female with dragonfly wings. What do they actually look like? What's been your experience viewing them?
Well, you know, they're made of light like us, so they actually come into form as to different ways. The fairy race, literally, like the fairy, there's fairies and there's nature beings. And the fairy word, spelled F-A-E-R-I-E or Y, is to represent all of the elementals and all of the fairies. But truly, the fairy race was an ethereal race that existed different places in the world, but particularly what gets the most press is in Ireland and the mounds, the Shi. And they literally mixed with the race of the human on some levels. There were fairy beings that were mixed in with the humans, but as the energy shifted and became more dense in the planet, they couldn't survive in this dimension, so they had to retreat. So that's why they've, you know, taken kind of that back door for a long time. Plus, we haven't been awake for so long. You know, we've been programmed lifetime after lifetime to be, you know, not who we truly are, not in our full potentials. And slowly we left that core heart sense and knowing of being divine beings. I tell you, if you ask me what was the one thing that really shifted my world, my reality, my everything, was when I really, really became aware and started living my life as energy-based, not action-based. And we're so still stuck in that, you know, like how much kind of money can I make? How much can I do this or that? You know, who am I according to, you know, whatever outside influence that is, where, you know, it's more about love and energy and heart connection. And this is really what makes us happy, too. We just feel like, you know, we've gotten so, and I can say that now with because of the experiences I've had. The book I read about how to be happy or, no, it's and actually you become healthier, you become aware that you're not just human, but
the
nature.
Sounds like you're breaking up a little bit.
Yes.
Am I? Okay. Let me, hold on, let me just get off this.
Okay, I'll just talk from my phone. That's fine. Hopefully, is that better?
Yeah, doesn't seem to be breaking up.
Okay, good.
Good.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know if you just want me to talk for a little bit. Do you have questions? What, you know, I've got things I could talk about.
Well, first of all, if there's anybody that would like to call in and has a question about anything about these nature beings, they can call us live on air at 1-215-383-3999. Again, it's 1-215-383-3999. So, yes, we can welcome any type of listener call-ins. I have a question, Laura. What happens when... if somebody says, well, I don't believe in that stuff. I mean, and even if you have show pictures, your pictures are just beautiful. And I can see that they are there. But how can you dispute or what would you say if somebody says, oh, you're just, it's pareidolia. It's something that's just there and you're trying to make it something that it's not.
Well, you know, that's very rarely ever happened to me because when I'm standing in the energy of the fairy, which I carry now very strongly, I feel it's up to the person if they can hold that. It's not really about believing as much as it's being able to hold the frequency of that vibration. So sometimes people will be, you know, in their belief system so strongly that they have a fear maybe or a past life that's, you know, blocking their heart to open up to it. And there's never any judgment about that because sometimes we aren't, I mean, think of the things we even have opened up to even now as a race that we never would have even, you know, 50 years ago. I mean, there's things that are always going to be like that. So I don't really, my reaction is, well, that's fine. You know, someday you may have an encounter with them and I've just seeded your garden. You just know that it can happen. And you can't unsee a fairy, and whether you believe it or not, we've seen one now. So if it ever happens, then hooray. You know, if it doesn't, then that's your path too. It's, you know, we all come here to live whatever we're meant to do. So I feel like that's never a problem for me. I don't take offense to it at all, if that's an answer, I hope.
Are these...
Does that make sense to you? Yeah.
Yeah, make sense to me.
I see that there are fairies, but I just was wondering if a listener is listening to you and they're pretty apprehensive. And even if they see the pictures, and it's pretty obvious, there's some, you know, there's faces or whatever. What happens when you know, if they're still doubtful after seeing the pictures and saying, well, this is something to be conjured up as a fairy. It's just part of the grain of the root system or part of the tree or, you know, those kind of things.
Right. Well, I know that there are, I kind of know what you're asking more specifically, maybe like some pictures, and this is a good question because it's going to lead me down something that I wasn't sure I'd talk about, but it's a really good question. Anthropomorphism. Are you familiar with that term, what that is? is it's like a tree. I'll use a tree as an example. So a tree will hold the anthropomorphism of that area, which means they will hold the energy of what's happened historically, recording-wise, energetically of that area. So let's say you come across a tree that looks like a dragon, and you don't know if a dragon lived there at one time, but possibly it did, or you might have a man's face in the tree that's, wow, it comes through really dominantly, you know, and you think, well, maybe he passed away there. Maybe he laid against that tree and he just laid there and loved that tree, and that tree, he stayed with that tree, or he lived around there. You know, there's so many things that can be recorded. And part of the things, one of the most beautiful things that I love is I was led to many trees, and I'm always led to them. People will tell me to go to them, or there are places I didn't even know existed, and they'll say, well, you should go here, and it's the guide saying, go there, you know. And there's one tree I took in the Avenue of the Giants in Northern California. I don't know if you're aware of that area. It's a beautiful area. Have you ever been there?
Yes, there's
I've
a
been there, yeah.
Half marathon there, too, as a competitive runner.
Yeah, that's a beautiful. Well, there's, you know, a lot of the trees up in there have never been milled. They've never been cut. And I was led to this one grove, and the tree was just like, I have, you know, it shows so many different faces in it, and different and animals. It's a kind of a mix, you know, and I do present it in my my presentations, like slideshows that I do, and it's amazing. And I tell people, think of what the trees could tell us if they were never cut. They would have a lot more character to them. So I think that's why, you know, we're also starting to see that physically, you know, in the tree, but actually, because we're becoming more aware of who we are and that we are more just our bodies, and we can, you know, we have more, you know, the physical eyes aren't the only eyes we see through. We see through the third eye, which you're well aware of. And this is on more of an energetic level. So we're starting to see energy along with our physical eyes, and I think some people are not aware that they're actually doing that, and that's they're seeing different layers of energy. So that leads me to kind of present something that's a little bit out there, but my pictures are not third-dimensional. They're multidimensional, and this is something I didn't realize at first. So one day I was with a friend, and we were in Mount Shasta, and I had I love the water there. You know that where, I don't know if you go there and get water, but there's a place there down in the city park that you literally bring jugs, and it's fresh water that comes out of the mountain there. And it's very healing, and they say it's good to drink and all that. So and I've done it multitude of times, and I never got sick, and it's true. I know a lot of people have done that. So we were there taking photos, and I took one of the water, not particularly where the water literally comes out to drink, but not far from there. And when I got home, I looked at it, and I was so amazed because, for one, it had kind of a violet hue to it, kind of a purplish. And I'm like, wow, I wonder why it has that. And then I realized, well, the energies at Mount Shasta are very commonly known as energies where the ATs come and show up, and there's inner earth underneath Mount Shasta that has, and Talos, it's a subterranean city where a lot of the Lemurian people are, and the Native Americans are down there. There's all kinds of people now living underneath there. And it's just a well-known, very divine, you know, high-energy place. And St. Germain is well-known there, and he carries the violet flame. And so the violet flame is a very high energy. It helps us keep a certain high-energy level, and it helps clear and release. And, you know, it literally burns away, you know, the old density. It's kind of there for us to use. But anyway, I don't want to get too off track. So I took this photo, and I was looking at it, and as I progressed, I could feel my guides around me working through me, and this picture started to morph, and an angelic being showed up, not a fairy, okay? So it's not just the fairies, but occasionally this will happen, and this being was in the water, and all of a sudden, I looked down, and on the right-hand side of the photograph, you know, originally there was water there because it was a waterfall kind of coming down. But as I was looking at it, and I was in this really high energy, and I was feeling the angel, and, you know, in that space, I'm not in the physical anymore. I'm in a multidimensional space. And the water literally faded out, and it showed what was underneath in the photograph, like what was actually there at the time. And I went, oh, my gosh, this isn't, this, you know, I'm kind of, what's happening, you know? And then I realized, wow, they're telling me that they want me to talk about, you know, things are multidimensional, not just, you know, one dimension. And so that changed my whole kind of layers, right, to the program, to the presentation I was working with. And I know a lot of people didn't understand it, but then things started happening and my photographs started changing. And like even the Enchanted Tree photograph, there's a, in the very top of it, there's this huge moth beam, kind of mossy stuff hanging down. And I looked up at it one day and it had split. It totally had a crack in it. And I'm like, well, that didn't happen before. And so then I realized they're living portals like we are. So that's the whole point is, Jason, Sherry, all of us here, we're all living portals. And so what I was to bring the message for was to be kind of like the vision. I call myself like the vision teller, I guess. It's where through the vision I'm showing it. It doesn't have to be, but it's one of the ways, one of the avenues, that we're all multidimensional beings. And so the fairy realm was very much the way, or the nature realms were the ways that I was able to do that, the doorways of revealing that. So it's been quite a ride since, you know, all these things started happening. And it's very, you know, everybody thinks it's so miraculous or magical, but really it's not. It's really just the way it is. But we're just so, we're not aware of that every day. We're not living that. And so it becomes kind of this phenomenon type thing. But actually, if as time goes on, it's going to be more and more, I won't say normal because I don't really think that word exists anymore, but it's going to be a lot of different things. And people are already, I've met many people already that can even, you know, experience that same thing I am. So this isn't, you know, like a something that's going to grow and evolve in the way that you can hear to experience it. And really the key is to be open. You know, if I tell people if there's anything else when you go through life, not just out in the forest, or the more open you are, the more that you will allow the light. So how's that light going to come in? Well, you know, one of the ways is self-forgiveness. That's something everybody can do. And just forgive. And I have to do, you know, we all have stuff. And as the light comes more in, then you become more sensitive to what's actually there. So if you were to put one of my pictures, like let's say the Enchanted Tree, that's one that's on my website that's very easy to see. I break it down, you know, on there and show you all kinds of things in it, the tree elf fairies and the gnome and that one too. So, but when you look at that photograph and you move 10 feet away from it, you're going to see completely different beings than you are if you're right up at it. So that's multidimensionality. So if you walk up to it on the wall and you just kind of look at it like, say, more in the finite physical, you're going to literally see, though, the tree elf and the tree. But if you back up, I don't know, about 10 feet, there's other beings. If you just allow it to kind of come to you and form, they'll show you. And, like, that's what I mean being open is being allowing it to come to you, you know. It's more about allowing than believing anymore. So we're going into a whole new era of beingness here on this planet, and it's just amazing what's going on. So any questions so far? I can go on to the signs and symbols they've given me or things that can really.
One question I had was, now I assume these entities, now they obviously exist in nature. Are there any, and I may have asked you the last time you were on the show, are there any, mm-hmm. like, you know, everything has a duality. Are there any that are negative out there? Have these, trolls or anything like that?
Well, they all have their characteristics. And, you know, that's a good question because, you know, we're still not quite out of the duality, like you said, or the polarity, put it that way. So, but what I try, what I work with, I feel there's, at this point in time, I work with the fairies that are actually working to evolve into the higher frequencies with us. And just like humans right now, I feel, I'm going to put it all into kind of one soup. Whatever is on the planet, that is, everything's changing. Let's put it that way. So even the ones that have been denser, I like that word better, because density is, you know, ones that create fear, hold fear. They themselves don't hold as much, you know, light as the others, because really, you know, dark is just absence of light, so it's not really evil or anything, although, you know, they can act out different emotions. They do have emotional bodies, so I think that is where some of that has been created. But I feel like when you, if you come into a situation where that's like that, like there's something you feel might be that energy, then just send it light, because actually there could be, you know, but I have not come across that. I feel like when I go in a forest, what I actually do, and it's not like I'm protecting myself, because what I feel the best protection is to just be the love. So if I'm the love, then I don't, they're not going to want to come and hang out with me if they're that dark. And that's how I feel it is for, you know, when you're out in the forest, if you feel something. Now, there are times where I will get like a feeling that I'm not supposed to go over there. Something's going on there. Or that there's a boundary energetically, like you're not supposed to go that way. Or I think even the goblins, I even wrote about this just a couple of days ago. I reposted a goblin tree that I had, and I asked for them to bring me a goblin, and they did. I was in this forest with some friends in this tree. I was so drawn to it, and then I got so much love coming from it, and I walked up to it, and I took the pictures, and I could kind of see something in the tree. And then when I zoned into it, you know, when I got home, and I kind of, because I'll take parts of trees and I'll blow them up and look at them, I could see a goblin face, and he had like kind of like, you know, creepy hands, you know, kind of in the picture with it. And I thought, there's a goblin. And I tuned in, and I really wanted to get what it, you know, and what I got was, he said, well, We really aren't here to be, you know, mean and all that. Sometimes we're guardians, but we don't want you around places, or like say you're somewhere and they want to like make you go a different direction. They'll, you know, maybe you will feel something weird, or something will happen that your mind get kind of confused and you don't know which way you went or which way you're supposed to go. That's them leading you off the track. But they are, you know, they have light too. And what was interesting is I posted that on Facebook, I think it was. The next day I'm sitting in my dining room and I look out and then, see, they come energetically. It doesn't even have to be a tree. It's just a layer of energy that shows up. So I'm looking at this bush that's out front window and I see this face come in just, I could feel it. See, there's a sensuality to all this as well. But I could feel, and all of a sudden I go, what is that? And I'm feeling it, it's getting stronger in my body, and I'm connecting to it, and I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden this huge face just grinned, and it was a goblin thanking me for, you know, giving him press that's not all, you know, bad and evil and all that stuff. So I was like, okay, I get it. You know, they don't want all that. But, yes, to answer your question, I think you have to discern, and you have to really, you know, use your best judgment and intuition when you're out places. And I don't think you should fear it, though. That just adds to whatever that is off balance. You know?
It reminds me, many years ago, I was camping kind of fairly remotely, and there's heavily wooded mm-hmm. area off of this gravel road. And every time I looked at this area, you know, at the tree line, I just got a really uncomfortable feeling. And I kind of walked around a bit, and the vibe just was not right. And I always thought, well, you know, maybe it's haunted or something. But now I'm wondering if it's, you know, goblins or some sort of negative interdimensional being.
Well, if you got an icky feeling, like let's say your stomach even turned, like, nauseated almost, or however you interpret that feeling, you know, maybe they just didn't want you there. They didn't like you being there. But it, but you could talk to it and say, you know what, if it's, you know, if I'm, is it okay if I just stay the night? I'll respect the land. You know, telepathically you can talk to that entity and say, you know, we can work this out together. It's just so many humans have come in and just, you know, not respected their world. And this is their world, not ours, you know. And they come in and they keep balance. I mean, this is kind of an off subject, but this is so true. I talk about this once in a while. Like the gnomes, they keep balance in the soil. Energetically, that's even something they do. We don't even, I was given a vision one time of this, it was a war zone. It was in another time frame. I don't think it was, actually it might have been I'm not sure where it was. And they were showing me that they were fighting, and then the soldiers would move up, you know, they keep moving. Well, then I saw these gnomes come behind them, right at the tails of their feet, and they were just going, shh, shh, shh. And like, they said, we're balancing back the land. They were trying to keep land in a certain higher frequency, because war consciousness is not very high frequency. So there's so many things that, you know, they've shown me. I'm like, wow, I'm so respectful of them. You know, it's not like we, they're not just these little gnome statues you put next to your, you know, your garden. They're way more than that. And that's where I come, I like to talk about them. You know, they're real on certain levels. They've helped us. They're wanting to partner with us deeper. And so I think that's the joyful thing about it.
I'm curious, like, how did they get along with the native spirits that are there?
How do you what? Get along with them?
They get along with the fairies and the gnomes and the sprites. How do they get along with the native spirits that are there?
Okay, so you mean like how do you partner with them? Is that what you're asking?
No. I mean like the sprites, what have they conveyed to you? The relationship with the native spirits, you know, the Native American spirits that are there?
Oh, the Native American spirits. Well, you know, I'll give you an example. I believe, you know, I think that whatever it is that is positive to your heart, if you do a ceremony, like when I first came to this house I'm in, it's out in the country, and I wanted to, you know, really honor the spirits here, you know, whoever was here. And so I did a ceremony with some friends. They were Native American, one of them was, and then I had another friend that was a shaman. We came and we did drumming around our apple tree, and I had lanterns hanging from the tree, and because it was dark, we went into the night. We had a fire and all that, and just joyful, loving, you know, honoring the land, whoever they were here, because I feel that really clears, that sets an intent that they know that you are, you know, with them, you're partnering with them, and kind of like anybody, you know, like if you were to meet a friend and, you know, you'd be respectful. You'd want to get to know them in a very respectful way, invite them in your house or whatever. But so what was really amazing is the picture that I took several pictures with my point and shoot, just random. Next day, I fairies showed up in it, and they were holding little tiny lanterns. One of them had they were little tiny white lights in this. There's an orb hanging from one of the, the dream catchers I had in my tree, and there was an orb, and inside the orb were fairies. There were a lot of different orbs, you know, all around, but it was amazing. They came, as, you know, they were showing us, they showed up, and, yeah, so they love that we did that. You know, it's more like, okay, so it's about community, right? It's about communing. I'm going to go into this, but this is really, I wanted to make this point. If I didn't say anything tonight, this is really important to me to convey. So a lot of times people think, you know, they just go walk in nature and it's a physical thing. You know, they get a good walk in, they get a good, you know, good pace, and they, you know, physically it's all good. The body's, you know, getting a good workout, you know, and that's fine. That's good. But if you want to really connect with nature, that's not the kind of walks you want to do. You want to go into nature with the fact of not just walking, but communing. And so communing means you are actually open to their energies, and you connect with them through your heart space. I got to grow and learn what a lot of the forests have greeter trees, and they're usually together, and they're usually at the entrances or kind of entrances of different spaces in the forest, and they're usually really close together. And so I would go to find the greeter trees and, you know, just send love and ask them, you know, I send rainbows from my heart to the forest, because it gives it kind of like, here I am, I'm coming into your house, I'm coming into your home, and I'm going to honor you and thank you, and I'd love to play with you, I'd love to experience this through your eyes, you know, I'm open to that. Invite them into your heart, you know, it's kind of like, they're not going to come if you don't invite them. They're going to be very shy, a lot of them, and so, you know, that's part of it. And you can touch the trees, you know, hug them. I think people have gotten a little bit too literal with, oh, if you don't hear the tree talking, you're not communing, you know. That's not true. Just showing up energetically and lovingly and openly with nature, you're communing with them. And it's amazing what can happen. So does that answer your question? I mean, I feel doing ceremony is a really good way to commune with the spirits of the land and bring them, you know, gifts maybe, certain trees if you're drawn to them. Bring them like a you know, honey or chocolate or even something you've made out of nature, like a little, you know, something. It's just all whatever comes to your heart, you know. Maybe there's a special crystal and you want to give them. So it just all depends what comes to you. It's very specific sometimes to the land that you're at.
So I just purchased a pretty nice camera. And for the listeners out there, if they want to start taking pictures and becoming more in tune to this, do you have any suggestions to be successful and kind of open up to be able to have some of the same experiences you've had?
Well, first of all, any camera I've learned will take, you know, like there's no limitation, so that you can be assured of. I would say the best thing to do before you go out on your shoot is to talk and make your intent, okay? So whether it be in the car in the parking lot or at home, doesn't matter. It's all, they don't live in time, so they know what you're doing. And they're there whether you can see them or not. And so, you know, make an intent, you know, just sit there and say, you know, I really would love to commune with you today. I'm new at this. I'm ready to be more open. You know, and they'll test you like what they would do for me. One time they put a stick in the, like we went on this trail and then on the way back, there was this huge stick that was there that wasn't there before, and there was no tree around it that it would fall out of. And I told my friend, I said, that wasn't there on the way here. That's a sign. And then so, and actually that was the tree that I found the goblin in. So it's like, and I have two other people I have that witness to. So, you know, set the intent and make it, you know, as much as ever. The words aren't the issue. It's the feeling. Become open and open your senses and be open to receive whatever it is. You know, they may gift you something, you know, they may show up as a color. They show up as like orbs, or they can show up as like a color. I was at a forest a while back, and I could just feel these kind of formations they made from trees. They're kind of almost like a dome home, I call them. They're a gnome home, and they're out of like old trunks and twigs and things. And I just knew the gnomes lived there, and I was like, oh, man, I could just feel them and couldn't see them, you know. And so, but I, you know, I just sent them love, and I sang them a song. And it doesn't have to be anything big, but they know what your heart's saying. And later I found that there were two orbs coming out of the entrance of that gnome home that I took a picture of, and, you know, they wanted to reveal themselves. It doesn't always happen, so just no expectations. But do you see yourself even dancing? I mean, dancing, being joyful, that brings the energy. They love to be in that spirit of the heart. And so the biggest thing
I'm
is
not a dancer.
Open your heart. You don't have to dance. You could sing. You could even drum, or you could just be, you know, just kind of be one with them. Just kind of, you know, with your thoughts. Be quiet and silent and pick a nice rock or a nice tree stump or somewhere to sit and just be with them. And it may not happen the first time, you know. But yeah, there's reasons you're drawn to certain things. That I do know. That happens every time I go out. Like, I'll think, why am I so drawn to that tree right there? Well, I'm going to go over and check that tree out, you know. And whether I get anything or not doesn't matter, because maybe it's they're just, you know, wanting to have some small, maybe they're connecting with you on a level that you don't even know, you're not aware of yet. So it's not about the mind. It's not about the brain. It's about the heart. And whatever you choose to do, it'll be the right thing. There's no wrong way to do that. So don't feel like you have to have a plan 1 through 5. This will work. It's not like that. It's just every forest has its own beauty, its own amazing resonance to nature and Gaia, Mother Earth. And so it's worth it. I guarantee you it's worth it, because right now we're going through so much clearing of ourselves, of our past lives. And we need things to keep us in, you know, that more of a groundedness. And even when I get kind of too much, I feel the energy just way too much. Like, I get a lot of energy a lot of the time. And I go out and I think, you know, I just want to see some beauty. I want to be near a waterfall. I want to smell them off, you know. It's something to kind of ground me in the earth. And I want to gift, you know, my love to them and just hang out. And so, you know, one of the key words here is allowing. So since I do practice that more things have been coming to me. And it's real. I mean, it's totally real. Like, okay, let me give you an example. Okay, today, a lot of times they will do signs with me. They'll show me they're around. And everybody has their own. You don't go by just by what I've had happen to me, but they can. And so gloves has been a really good one, helping hands. One time I was on a walk with my husband, and we saw two gloves just in a ditch. And, you wouldn't think much of that, right? Well, then the next day I saw them again, and then I went to a park, and I saw them again. They literally were underneath my feet on this park bench. And I was like, okay, you guys, because synchronistically is another way they come, and repetitiously, you know. And I said, what does this mean? And I got this helping hands coming. And we needed some financial assistance for something, and it came out of the blue. And, you know, it was like, wow. And so today, it was just today, like 2 hours ago, I was out taking a walk. I live in the border of a vineyard, so I was walking in the grapevines there. And I looked down, and there's two gloves. And I looked up in the sky, no kidding, my husband was with me, and there was a rainbow. I was like, okay. So, you know, it just becomes like almost this cosmic flow that is just amazing. And I expect it now. I am always expecting it. I don't judge it. You know, I don't. It just happens. You know, it's just, I don't know. I guess if it doesn't happen, it's okay too. But it's always like, I just giggle every time. It's always fun. And that's how I want my life to be, you know, in that mode. So they're very much there to help you bring that more into your life.
I think it's an awareness.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I think it's an awareness.
What is it? I'm sorry?
I said I think it's an awareness around you and your surroundings, especially when you come to nature and just being still and pay attention.
Absolutely. You know, when we're in our heads and we've got our cell phones and we're constantly checking them and we're, you know, not aware of what's going on, yeah, that's not going to work, right? You got to put yourself, I mean, not that you can't take your cell phone with you in the forest and, you know, check it if you're expecting something later in a call or something. Or if something happened, you have that access. But, you know, get out of your head for sure. And it's an awareness, you're right. You become aware that everything is conscious. It's energy, you know, like the consciousness of trees and they're alive, and you know, you walk in the nature as if, you know, not just like that's just a stump and it's dead. Let me tell you, those tree trunks have a lot of energy in them. I got pictures to prove it. And so yeah, on certain levels, it appears like there's, you know, nothing going on yet. But as things are really shifting and our energy levels are evolving, which happens whether we want to believe it or not. And it's not the, you know, it's not like when it's going to happen, or it's just about just allowing it to be. And it's very simple. You know, if you were to describe two words about nature, it's just, it's so simple, but it's profound. And so, like, I've had flower devas come to me and show me one time, when you've had a divine intervention of and a connection with nature, you are not the same. It activates you, you know, very much. And that's why, you know, you become a different person. And it wakes you up. And one time, this is in the room I'm talking with right now. I wasn't even in nature when this happened. That's why I like to really get personal with what happens to me, because you think it has to be in some temple or some sacred place or some amazing old tree. No, it can happen anywhere. So I was in my office here, and I was looking at a flower. It's a chicory flower. I was taking a picture of it in Bush Park, or no, Minto Brown Park in Salem here where I live. And I was just looking at it, and I was just saying, God, I love that color, and I love that flower, and you never know when it's going to happen. I wasn't trying to force it, or I wasn't thinking, oh, I want to do this right now. It was nothing like that. It was just random, just looking at the beauty of it. And then I get this feeling, and it overwhelms me, and I'm like, what is this energy? And then in the corner of that photograph, this kind of like an invisible imprint. I don't know if I can, it's like this, it looked like a figure, like a shoulder and then a head and another shoulder. And it was kind of looking at the flower, okay? So I'm thinking, wow, what is that? So energetically, I'm seeing this kind of invisible imprint. And then the center of that flower started getting white and bright, and it literally had that, like this light just turned on. And the aura of that flower, the soul of that flower, started emanating light, and it stayed in the photograph. And the feeling that I got, and then I realized what the imprint was the deva of the flower, and I connected in divine intervention with that deva. I became that deva of that flower. And I'm telling you, I had tears running down my cheeks. The energy was so beautiful and so amazing. And I was like, oh my God, this is just amazing. And then it kind of subsided and it was done. And I found out later that the devas of the plants, every plant has a deva, and the devas are different than the flower fairies. The devas are the ones that actually hold the imprint, the actual perfection, the blueprint of the plant. Like, you know, we're kind of like our higher self, or it's the plant's higher essence. Whereas flower fairies, what they do is they come in and they literally create the form. I mean, we don't realize what our environment, you know, we're in this, you know, holographic kind of reality, and what they do is they help bring it into form. And so I know a man, he wrote a book about it, Jeffrey Hobson, I think it is, and he was very clairvoyant, and he saw different vibrations would happen, tones, and these fairies would come in, and one would make a stem, one would make a leaf on another level, not physical level, right? So we're not seeing this happen, but that's how it happens. And so the flower fairies actually bring a form. And I've seen in my third eye different things that they showed me that as well. And so it's quite amazing, orchestrated divine creation we're around every day. And, you know, when you tap into that higher creation of light and love and just vibration, it's quite amazing, you know. And And I do. I love flowers. I think after that, the flower fairy, that happened to another one. And see, so what happens is once you get something, like say the gloves, the helping hands, once I got that was them trying to tell me something, then it happened over and over, and it still happens. It happened today, right? So, and the first one happened probably a couple of years ago. So I saw them in Mount Shasta. I saw them on train tracks. I saw them, you know, wherever I needed to see them. And, you know, so it becomes your awakened nature. And let me tell you, the Native Americans know about all that. They're very aware of the nature awakenings. And so they commune with nature. They think of nature as sacred. And, you know, it's not something to destroy and not try to keep, you know, in our balanced world. So yeah, no, it's pretty amazing, you know. And they're humorous, too. They love, that's the other way they show themselves. Sometimes they can be, like you say, not necessarily the goblins. These are actually gnomes. My friend was coming around a corner one day, and she's clairvoyant. She says, "Oh, my God." And I'm like, "What?" She says, "Oh, those guys up in that tree." And I go, "What are they doing?" And she says, "They're mooning me right now." And so, you know, they were being silly, and because she was being kind of like, I don't know, not real open at the moment. I was kind of being silly with her, and so they were trying to change her mood. They don't do it to be, you know, nasty. They're not like that. But, yeah, so that's another way they have to do that. But, no, it's waving leaves. Here's another one that's really big. I have a video on my website under my, I think it's under About, and it's videos pulled down on my website, where I literally was out in nature with a friend, and the leaf wave, you know, like you'll see things will be really still around it, and all of a sudden this one leaf will be like, you know, going back and forth really hard, really fast, and you're like, that's weird, and well, that's them waving, and then if you wave at it, it'll, sometimes it'll stop, right? And that's just fun. It's just fun. Go ahead.
It sounds like we all have to be more aware being out in nature. I think it's easy to just get sucked into technology and life and work and emotions. And I know I'm guilty of being a technology bug. I need to get out there and start communing with nature as well. But I'm looking at the clock here, and we're just about out of time now for the listeners. If they want to learn more, what's your website?
Okay, it's www.beingenchanted, and I'll spell that. It's beingenchanted.com. And, yeah, go on there. Facebook me. I do a lot on Facebook. I show, and then I have a fairies blog on my site that is really full of so much stuff. I mean, I'm constantly putting out amazing multidimensional pictures and fun things I've learned. I share everything because I'm here to do that. That's why I'm here, and I love it. And people share with me, so I love to have that community growth. So definitely, you know, get out there and be more aware and be conscious, because then you'll see things you didn't know. Sensuality, you know, opening up your senses is really important.
I'm going to try this with my new camera. I mean, I'm going to be serious about it, and I'm going to try and open up. Now, can I be successful in a backyard, or do I have to go out in the middle of nowhere?
Oh, yeah.
I think you were saying you can kind of encounter this anywhere.
You can, and a flash will get probably orbs, like at night. Do you have any friends that have children, by any chance?
Yeah.
Because if you brought children over and just said, okay, let's play, let's call in the fairies, you know, and then kind of get the mood going, you know, get the energy rolling, and then just take pictures randomly just with your flash. See what you get. You never know. You might get a flash of light. They sometimes come in streams or different colors, or, you know, it's amazing. I mean, it's just they're there. And then once you feel that, not just see it, Jason, the point is once you feel that, that's what's going to open your awareness. It's going to really, you know, open you up to like, wow, oh, and then you're like, okay, you know, let's bring that on a little bit more and more. And then it, you know, they even come as smell sometimes. One time I smelled popcorn out in the middle of the forest, and they were like, you know, they'll get you in different ways. It'll be interesting, you know, to see what happens to you.
Should I do this at night? Because you're talking about the flash. Is that a better time to capture stuff at night?
Well, I'd start out that just because it's kind of easier sometimes, but I wouldn't limit it. Whatever you are, they're going to work with you. The point is you're bringing that in through your intent. So whatever your intent, it could be in the middle of the day, and they're saying, okay, go to that park right now and sit with that tree. You know, and you're thinking, why am I thinking of that tree right now in that park? I was never thinking of that before. Well, they're talking to you. They telepathically talk to you. So if you get an idea or something in a dream state or whatever, go with it because it's them talking to you. And, you know, the good thing about all of it is, you know, you're actually connecting to that part of you that is playful, that is an elemental, because we're everything. And when you do that, then you start to feel your essence. It's actually you talking to you.
Well, I want to thank you.
What camera do you guys have, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, good question.
What's that? Say that again. I'm sorry.
The megapixel camera that you use. What megapixel are you using for your photographs that I'm seeing online?
You know what? My book that I did, my first book, I used a lot for that book. I was using, the Enchanted Tree was taken with a film camera, an old 35mm film camera. So there you go. That was the one I got the layer of fairies in. No digital there. Yeah. So that tells you.
Okay.
And then point and shoot I've had. And then, but I became more like, I wanted it to be, because I was a photographer, I wanted the pictures, not just the fairies, to look better. So I did get a digital Nikon. But you know what? I mean, you're going to get them no matter what. And I will say that the phones are not getting them as much as the digital cameras. So that's an interesting thing, isn't it? I don't know why that is, but I think it's
You said the iPhones or just the phones itself, depending on the phone?
The phones itself don't seem to get the orbs and the stuff as much as the digital cameras are. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it have to be a
Now, the new Pixel ones, the brand new ones, I'm not sure because I haven't used those. But, you know, the really new ones like the Pixel 3 and all that, I don't know what's all going on with that. But I think it has to do with technology, one, but maybe even, you know, frequency, too. It's interesting. I don't know. So something to ponder there.
It wasn't the Saturday market, but it was the art market, where it was very high-end, very prestigious, beautiful furnishings and paintings and ceramics. It's not like Saturday market. Yeah, quite the contrary. It's very upper level of quality and things. And there was a guy who had a picture. He was a vendor, and all his pictures, he said it was taken with, and don't quote me, I could be wrong, but I thought he said it was taken with an 80, I could be very well wrong, 80 megapixel. It was the highest end camera you can get.
Wow.
And the pictures were just fantastic, very minute. I mean, they're huge. He was selling them for, these pictures were selling for $1,000 to $5,000.
Wow.
Dang.
That's probably to pay for his camera.
I could be wrong. I thought it was 80. I think, you know, it wasn't like 10 megapixel. No, no, no. It's the highest end. I mean, he spent a lot of money on this.
Yeah.
I think it was 80. If I could be wrong. But it was way up there. It's like, I've never heard of that. It's like, my gosh. And the picture you see was just phenomenal. I mean, there was no resolution as far as everything was so minute and everything very fine and detailed. It was fabulous.
Well, I will say, though, maybe I'll change my mind, but in this moment, I feel that isn't the one that I would want to find fairies with because they're not finite. They've actually come more in pictures that are not so finite because they don't want to be caught in a limitation of form that's defined. So, you know, if it's so sharp that you're, you know, it almost doesn't leave room for the imagination or it's almost like the technology itself finites. Whereas they're not finite. Their energy is not finite, you know. So I will say that my point and shoot got just as much as my digital probably gets, it gets some too, definitely my new Nikon does.
That's amazing. But how
I
about
feel,
you, Jason? How's your megapixel? How big is that?
24.2. I have a Nikon D3400.
Wow.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say go to, you know, go to a park where there's like try, you know, trees and then try, you know, where they'd live and try near water. Water's a good one to get orbs. I don't know why. It's just there's a lot of water beings around, you know, and just be in the spirit of it and just, you know, let it go. Not get so finite with, you know, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. More like work on you. Work on your connection and relationship first, and then your camera is an extension of that. So, like, if you're into it and you become more aware, then apparently, you know, it'll be easier for them to work through you that way. I just feel like my camera, it was kind of an awakening the day I got the tree, but as I progressed more and more, you know, and I was in ceremony or I was in a space of really love and just joy, I got the most pictures, you know, and now I feel like that's just my, I resonate to that. So I don't, you know, I walk in a forest and I feel like I'm home. They're beautiful. I respect the trees. I give them little gifts. I do all kinds of things. And the last one I posted was on a, it was something I did just a couple of weeks ago, and I had no idea. I'd never even heard of this place. And what was ironic, it was only a quarter of a mile from a place I go a lot. And it's like that allowing, allow it to come to you. The energy is there, Jason. So, like, I got this random email to go to REI and watch this presentation on Opal Creek. And I'm like, should I do that? That's really resonating right now. Like, it feels like I should do that. It's about feeling again. So I signed up, went, and then somebody there said, well, have you gone to Henline Falls? And I go, I've never even heard of it. And they said, well, it's right down, not even a quarter of a mile from the same road. And I'm like, hesitantly, because it was sunny, and usually you don't shoot when it's sunny, but when I got there, there was all these rainbows, and oh my gosh, you got to go on my, either the fairy blog or Facebook and check out my last blog on that. It's amazing, the pictures, so, yeah,
yeah.
It was in Broad Hill,
oh,
okay. Yeah. So anyway,
well, like...
I hope you all have wonderful, wonderful relationships with the nature realm, because they're just there to be, you know, embraced, and it makes you a better, it gives you a better life to be living. It's so much more joyful, and being aware is just the key, like you said, Sherry. That's very true.
Well, I'll have
very
to come out of my house. You don't live very far from me, and we're just going to have to play with nature. I would love for you to come over, and I think you will have a heyday.
All right. Okay.
So you're
very
only
cool.
Not even an hour from me, to be honest with you, Laura. So yes, we'll have to a day for you to come out.
All right. Well, I usually end my my talks are happy trails, my friends.
Happy trails. Thanks for coming on the show again.
Yeah, thank
all
you.
All right, you too.
Yeah,
love to you both.
You. Wow, that was very, very good and very interesting. It's so different. It's refreshing to be able to see something that might be, it's something that we may not be aware of, but it exists right in front of our face, huh, Jason?
Well, I certainly believe there's things around us that we can't really pick up on, but this is going to be my resolution before next week's show. I'm going to give this a legitimate shot, and I'm going to try and put my mind and spirit in the proper place. I'm going to take my camera and take some pictures, and I will give a report next Sunday.
Oh, good. I won't be here next Sunday, though. Oh, boy.
you can always listen.
I will have a guest. I will have a sit-in guest, and I'm not sure who will sit in, but I will have a sit-in guest for next week. And then the week after, I believe we're going to have Ross Allison. He's very well known in the paranormal arena. He helped with David Weatherly with Haunted Toys. He's been on TV. He's been on media. I met him at the Ghost Conference. He's just a really nice, very nice human being, and love to talk to him. Very well versed in it, knows his stuff, and we're very pleased to have him back, Ross Allison.
Absolutely. Well, unless you have anything else, Cher, I guess we'll close it out. We'll see everybody next Sunday. Do you have anything else?
No. And, you know, you guys, thank you so much. I noticed that the Facebook, you know, what we post, like I said, it's nothing personal. It may not be our, you know, opinion or thoughts, but just more for entertainment purposes. But I do notice that, I don't know how it is on a radio station, but I do notice a big spike in our likes and being able to have people engage in the post. So I'm really thankful, and thank you for putting it out there. If there's any suggestions or say what you see, you know, share whatever, we'd be happy to do that. It's all about helping our listeners, you know, share and grow and learn. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Facebook is popping. Every time I open up Facebook, I have all these notifications of activity on our Facebook page, which is great.
Yes. So anyway, hopefully I will see you. I will see you in 2 weeks. I've got some previous plans, but we will have a step-in co-host for next week. And like I said, we will have open lines unless there's something different. But right now it's scheduled for open lines. And in 2 weeks, we'll have Ross Allison. And in 3 weeks, we will have something else. So I'm sure it's, I've got it. It's just busy. I'm very blessed, but very busy at the same time. But we'll get it together.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. And we'll see everybody next Sunday. And if you haven't already, check us out on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And with that, we'll bid everybody adieu. Good night, everyone.
Hey, good night, everybody. Take care. Peace.